Should I start recording? Okay. Is it recording? I'm gonna have this recording of me saying recording a lot of times. Yes, we are.
Rabbi and Tzadok Beis Medalla by Emma Rava. Ready? Carl, you ready? I'm waiting for you. Close it. Ruben should live. Yamas, and he shouldn't die. Yichi Ruben by Elam Hazeh, Ruben should live in this world. Yamas by Elam Habah, he shouldn't die in Elam Habah. That means his tshuva was accepted. Because Ruben did a chet. He took his father's bed out of Bilhah's tent, and he put it into Leah's tent. And Yaakov Avinu said, Yichi Ruben al Yamas, and he won't. His tshuva was accepted, and he won't die in this world, and he'll live in Elam Habah. Ravina Mamihaka Varabi Mishani Admas. Upper, many of the ones who sleep in the dust, dead people, Yakitsu, they're gonna wake up, Ela Lakhaya Elam, some are gonna live forever, Vela Kherpa Sadirayan Elam, some are gonna go to Ganem. Kherpa is like a shameful place. Dirayan is, you know, destruction. Ravashi Amrihaka. Vata Lech Lekeit Rekanuach. Go to the end and lie down and die. Vatama Legaracha Lekeit Yom. You'll get up and you get your portion at the end of all time. Okay, right in the Gemara. Amrabalata. This also has to be related to Gesa Mason somehow. We'll have to work on it. Kol Parnas. A Parnas. The Sherish, the word Parnas, is from Parnasa. A Parnas is someone that sees to the needs of others. Parnasa. He's usually not known to be a Talmud Chacham. A Parnas is a leader.
Like a person who gives like a lot of charity.
Gives a lot of charity, or he represents the people to the government. Parnas. Shemanig is a Tzibur Benachas. When his leadership over the Tzibur, over the congregation, tzibur, the multitude, the assembly. Benachas means he does it with gentleness. Not overpowering. Benachas, he takes their feelings or their needs into consideration, consults with them. Benachas, instead of forcing things on them, he makes them see the merit of his mahalak, of his plan. So zeichem anhigam leilam haba. So leilam haba, he is going to be someone that's going to be in that position. He's going to be their leader in leilam haba. Tremendous question. And they're going to get what's due them through him. This is a yisayid which we're going to have to spend a little time on. Of course, leading someone in Elam Haba is a lot different than leading them in Elam Haza. It's got to mean something different. Shnemar, ki merachemem, someone that deals with people with compassion. Yinagim, he's going to lead them. But Mabuy Mayim is like settled, calm waters. Yinalim, he will lead them. Beautiful. V'yamar Belazar. Pashup Shad, and the reason why this is here is because it's another statement from Belazar. Belazar just told us about a Parnas that's leading with Tzibur, but Nachas Yadulas, Lailam Haba, so that's related to Tchias Mason. And this also, Belazar also said this. We'll see if we could unearth some other connection. Gedele Deya. We treasure the greatness of Deya. Deya is a faculty. Deya. There's Chachma, there's Bina, there's Deya. Mada, Deya. So now we're talking about the praises of, we're singing this, the praises of Deya. A faculty called Deya. Shemitna ben Shteyesius. It's given to us between two letters. Two letters of Hashem. Shenemar, Mikael, Deis Hashem. Kael is one name of God. Hashem is another letter of another letter which is the name of God. And they make a sandwich around the word Deis. So you see, you know, when Hashem sandwiches a faculty, Das, Hashem sandwiches a faculty called Das, and he puts his name in front of it, after it, so you see the Das is something which is prominent, it's special, God holds it in high esteem. This Gemara is a site, we have no idea what it means yet. Remember, Belazar, God of Mikdash. Now we're going to talk about the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash. Shenitim b'shtei ha'isiyas. When Hashem talks about the Beis HaMikdash, he puts it between two of Hashem's names. Shenemar, pa'alto Hashem, God made it. What did he make? Mikdash? The Beis HaMikdash? Hashem of Hashem? Ken yedacha, you founded it with your hands. So the Mikdash is also very special because it's sandwiched between Hashem's names. Yes. Maskele Yavado, Kachina, the name of a person. Elmiyata, so if you're going to follow this to its conclusion, G'dayu Nekama, you see what vengeance. Vengeance is also really great. Isn't vengeance great? Revenge is sweet. Vengeance is great. Shemitna Mitzvah Yaisius, it's also sandwiched between two of Hashem's names. The Siv Kael Nekama is Hashem. Kael is Hashem's name. Nekama is vengeance Hashem. Kael Nekama is Afiya. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Elazar answered, the mill say for what you need vengeance for. Now you don't want to have to do vengeance, you know. The mill say for what you need vengeance for. Hachinami, you're right, it is a great and awesome thing. And that's why God put his name before him, for vengeance. It's up there with the Beis HaMikdash, and it's up there with Deir. So you have three things. All three of them are on the same level. They're put in the same level, same category. Vengeance. Oh, thank you. Helped me a lot. This was like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I kept doing this because I wanted to look at you, and now I don't have to do that. To shine forth. You have Deya, Mikdash, and Vengeance. Three seemingly unconnected things. And they're all awesome. You have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stamp of approval on them. Hashem puts them between his names. There's a lot of facets here. I don't know if we're going to get to everything today. We're just going to try and give over a general understanding of what's going on here. Kira Ula. So then he quotes Ula. Rabbi Elazar quotes Ula. Amar Udama Ula. Shtei hafayas halal ulama. It says hafiya. Hafiya is to shine forth. It says it twice. It says, Kiel Nekamas Hashem, Kiel Nekamas Hafiya. So it says the word Nekamas twice. And at the end of both of them, it says Hafiya to shine forth. So it means there's two revenges, and there's two revenges that shine forth. Kiel Nekamas Hashem, Kiel Nekamas Hafiya. Lama, what does the Pasuk have to say the word Nekamas twice? Two vengeances. One vengeance is not enough. Can't do all with one time. The Gemara answers, no, there's two kinds of vengeances, two kinds of revenge. Achas l'mida taiva, one's a good mida. One's a good revenge. One's a good revenge. The achas l'mida is peronius, and one is a catastrophic revenge. Rashi says, what's a good revenge and what's a catastrophic revenge? Catastrophic revenge is when Hashem punishes the Goyim in return for what they do to us. Yeah, the Mitzrayim threw the babies into the water. So Hashem drowned the Mitzrayim. That's revenge. Revenge is more than just punishment. Revenge is like putting putting the offender, the one that inflicted grievous harm, in place of the one that he attacked, assaulted, or harmed. It's not just a punishment. You know, in chinuch, in education, child education, they teach you that with a child you have to make the punishment fit the crime. If a kid hits another a sibling, you don't hit them back because it doesn't make sense. What message are you sending them? Oh, you could hit me, but I can't hit my brother. So you take scotch tape and you put them around the hands. Or you take out the scotch tape. The best thing is not to put the scotch tape around the hands. The best thing is to take out a roll of scotch tape and you say, hit him again. You use your hands for improper things. I'm going to scotch tape your hands.
Together?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. For a minute. You think you don't have to do it. You just take the scotch tape out. If they bite the kid, if they bite another kid, you say, I'll take out pepper. Take out the pepper, you show it to them. You shouldn't have to do it. If you do it once, you should never have to do it again. But you put the offender in the position of the one that was offended. That's not just punishment. It's called replacement therapy. You ever heard of replacement therapy? That's replacement therapy. That's Leroy. The Mitzrayim drowned the Jewish babies, they get drowned. That's bad. Then there's the Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu had a relationship with the entire world. Before the Torah was given, Hashem had a relationship with the entire world. You find that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to
Sure, right?
He spoke to Noah. Before the Torah was given, he spoke to Noah. Noah wasn't Jewish. Noah was not Jewish. Since Hashem spoke to Shem, he was a prophet. He wasn't Jewish. Hashem spoke to Avram, he was Jewish. But he wasn't really Jewish because it was before the Torah was given. Hashem spoke to Abimelech. Came to Abimelech. Hashem spoke to Lavan. They weren't Jewish. Hashem had like a relationship with people that were Jewish and with people that were not Jewish. There were, you know, the family of Avraham Avinu had a special status. But until the Torah was given, it wasn't clear. It wasn't clear. Once the Torah was given, what did Hashem do? He offered the Torah to the Goyim. There was a relationship. That famous Medrash? He offered it to Esau. Esau says, what does it say there? Lysitza. Of course, God picked the one thing that Esau... If Hashem would have said, Lysimov, Esau would have taken it. He would have. Lysigzo, they would have taken it. But Hashem said, Lysitza. Esau said, that runs against a national character. We can't. And Yishmael, v'chein. He offered the Torah to the Goyim. You know what that means? It means that Hashem was allowing a relationship with them. A special relationship with them. And they turned it down. And Klal Yisrael didn't even ask Hashem what's in it. They said, Nasa v'nishma. Hashem says, okay, no more Shekhinah about the Goyim. No more the relationship with the Goyim. The Jews are in place of the Goyim. They replaced them. They replaced the Goyim. The Gemara says, Sinai is called Sinai. Do you know of a word that sounds like Sinai in the Hebrew language?
Sinai.
Sinai. What does Sinai mean? Because that's when the guys hated us. They hated us when we got the Torah. Because it wasn't just that we got a wonderful law book. We got the relationship and they got booted out. They hate us. They hate us. It's called Har Korev. Why? Korev means destruction. Because it's when they got destroyed. That's also a replacement. That's called the good Nekama. Nekama doesn't really mean revenge. Nekama means replacement. Revenge is a form of replacement. Because I'm saying, instead of the Jewish babies going in the water, you're going in the water. So we are displacing you. And we're putting you in a different place. But Nekama means displacement. It doesn't mean revenge. By Mount Tyre, the Jews took the place of the Goyim. That's a good Nekama. So Mar says, that's the two Nekamas. Right there.
What do you mean, Kasuv? The Svarim Akhrim knows of Kasuv by Akum.
Oh, well, it's a Gersa.
Who's Kasuv?
Written. Okay. And Rashi says it says Hashem's name before the word Nekama and after the word Nekama, because a Kadosh Baruch has two ways that he can punish someone. He can punish someone with a Malach. Hashem will create a Malach or use an existing Malach, and the Malach will punish the guy. A Kadosh Baruch could punish the guy himself. In Mitzrayim, when Makas Becheres, it said, "Vavati be'ez Mitzrayim, ani Hashem ani v'loy malach." The Mitzrayim are going to get, Hashem is going to bring his revenge upon the Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch has his name surrounding the word Nekama, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvayd v'yatzma is the one that brings about the revenge, not the Malach. Not the Malach. Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvayd v'yatzma is a muscle to a surgical strike. Everyone gets exactly what they deserve, no more, no less. With the Malach, there's rules. There's like, you know, a general mahalach. There's rules that a mahalach follows when he wipes people out. So within those parameters, he does it. Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's mamish. It's nekama. Mamish nekama. Is that an example of nekama, like this kind of nekama? The Yisuf HaTzadik emulated a Kadosh Baruch Hu's meet of nekama. The brothers went down to Mitzrayim. He called them liars. He told them, go back to Eretz Yisrael, bring Binyamin. They said, okay, we'll go back to Yisrael, bring Binyamin. But he said, you have to leave someone behind. He took Shimon. He shackled Shimon to their eyes. As soon as they left to go back to Eretz Yisrael to get Binyamin, he undid Shimon's shackles. Why? Why did he bind them in the first place? Why did he undo his shackles? I had two pshat. One pshat is more the obvious pshat. He shackled Shimon's arms because he wanted them to realize that they're going through this anguish because of what Shimon instigated. Shimon was the instigator of Mechiras Yosef. So if he shackles Shimon's arms, so then they'll say, hey, why is Shimon the one that he picked? Out of all the brothers, why did he pick Shimon? Why did he shackle his arms? It must be because Shimon's was the one that told us to tie up Yosef. That's Pashup Shah. Once they left, so there's no longer any need to shackle him, so he unshackled him. But I think, you know, that's what comes to mind right away. He did it for show. But there's another pshat, which is not a contradiction to the first pshat. Therefore, what Shimon did, Yosef measured out exactly what he deserved. It's revenge. We're talking about revenge. This is what you did to me, this is what's going to happen to you. And Yosef didn't do it out of anger, out of emotion. But in order for Shimon to get back to where he was, to his level of a tzaddik, there's only one way for Shimon to get back to his level as a tzaddik. And that's for him to go through what he put Yosef through. And Yosef measured the exact amount, his nifla. He measured the exact amount of time that it would take for Shimon to go through that process. Yeah, I don't know, but the exact amount of time that Shimon had to go through in order, you know, it could be that, you know, the embarrassment or the public display, you know, that, didn't have, you know, that there was a calculated judgment. And the minute that was over, took it off. No more, no less. You don't just lock him up and leave him there until you feel like it. You see that it was measured. Bidiyuk, exactly.
That's the contradiction to the first shot. So if they would have, the brothers decided to hang around just a tiny bit longer, and he would have had to unshackle him because of the exact moment.
That would have been good.
And the brothers wouldn't be anguished.
He was embarrassed. No, even if it was there for 5 weeks.
It was
weeks.
More the ambient, right? There was more of the Boucher in a public display. Linnaeus.
Still.
You see one thing from here, that it was measured. It was measured. And it wasn't out of blind emotion and the hatred and the passion for revenge. It was measured. It was calculated. That's because his book was Nakama. Hashem puts his name in between the Nakama. Yom Rabbi Lazar, another statement from Rabbi Lazar. Kol Adam Sheyesh B'Deya, anyone that has Deya. So now he's talking about, before we were talking about the faculty of Deya, it's great. Hashem puts his name on Deya. We don't know what Deya is yet. Kilu Nibne Beis HaMikdash B'Yamo. That's as if the Beis HaMikdash was built in his days, which means that that person is a Beis HaMikdash. If you read it that way, I hope you understood it that way. The person has Deya, he's a Beis HaMikdash. Zen Yitam Ben Shtei Aisyas, the Beis HaMikdash is presented to us between two names of God. Zen Yitam Ben Shtei Aisyas, it is also given to us between two names of God. So it's like a Gzeira Shama. Vamra Belazer, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Deya, let's see, you have Deya? Save Misashi, he's going to be rich. That's cool. Shenema, Ubedas, if you have Das, it's a pasuk of Mishlei, Chadorim Yimalu. You're going to fill your rooms, Kol Hain Yakar V'Noyim. Hain is like wealth, Yakar is precious, Noyim is pleasant. Ramar Belazer. This is a very important lesson for someone in Chinuch. Kol Adam Shein Bei Deya. Anyone that doesn't have Deya? Asur L'Rachem Alav. It's forbidden to have compassion on him. Someone has no Deya? Forbidden. Verboten. It's Asur to have compassion on someone that has no Deya. Shenema? Eloi am binaisu, your nation without bina. Just took a kasha why I use the word bina when we're talking about Deya. I don't have an answer. I want to point out the question. I don't have an answer. Al kein lo yirachmenu. There will be no compassion. Oseyu from the one that made him, v'yetzroi, and who formed him, lo yichanenu, won't give him chen, won't give him grace. So you can't have compassion on someone that has no Deya. Vamer b'lazer. Kala nation pitai, you give bread. Lemisha aim by Deya? To someone that doesn't have Deya? You surround by love. The one that gives it gets stricken. Stricken. Gets stricken with pain. You surround. For giving bread to someone that has no Deya. Shinemar? Lachmacha, your bread, your simu mazur takteka will give you pain. The ain't funabai because of someone that has no bina. You gave bread to someone that has no bina, you're going to get pain. The ain't mazur, el yisur, mazur means pain. Shenema vayar Ephraim eskoyai, Ephraim saw its sickness, Yehuda's mazorai, and Yehuda saw its pain. Yamra Balaza, Kol Adam Shein Bo Deya. Some of us have Deya, the Seif Gaila. So we see a few things already. You're not allowed to have Rahmanas on him. If you do have Rahmanas on him, you get hurt. And he's going to go into Galas. Shinamar, it says in the puzzle, Chain Gala Ami. My nation went into exile. We believe Das, because they don't have Das. This pasuk is a Mayuritic pasuk, you know, you don't. It's up in a pasuk. My nation went into exile because they have no Das. Yamra Belaza. Kabayish ain't if it turned Ishmael, boy. Any house that Divrei Torah not heard in the house. It's an interesting lesson. But Lila, at night time, specifically at night time, the house that the sound of Torah is not resounding there at night. Specifically at night. Eishach Lasai, It will be consumed by fire.
Could you read with the comic go before Balila?
No. Ein der Return ist bei Balila, ist ein Klasser. Schnemma, Karl Kaisech, All Nights, Tamon, if it's absent, Tamon means like hidden, absent, Tzvuna, from the secrets of Torah, Tekleilesh, fire's gonna eat it. Leinupak, and you don't need a bellows. You know what a bellows is? Yeah, you don't need it. It's so hot, you don't need a bellows. Yera, some of the, Yera means some of the, it's a fault in his eyes. He considers it a flaw. He considers it, what's the opposite of an admirable value? What's the opposite of something admirable? He denigrates, Yera, some of the denigrates, Sarid Ba'alai, some of the learns in his tent. He looks upon with disfavor. Yera means someone looks upon with disfavor. Sarid Allah is someone that learns in the tent. The guy says, there's no Torah coming in my house. Nah, I'm not going to be one of those wackos to learn. His house is going to get burnt down. Ain't Sarid. El Tamid Chacham. A Sarid means someone that learns Torah. Shem B'Risridim. The Tamid Chacham. Asher Hashem Kore. God calls them. So you see the importance of having Torah in the house at night. Remember, Belozer Kol Shein Mahana Tamid Chacham in the Chasav. Anyone, the Tamid Chacham don't benefit from his property. But this doesn't necessarily mean tzedakah. This is hana. You can put a Tamid Chacham into business, or give him a good deal on bales of cotton or something. Ain Arayah Semen Bracha Yelam. There will be no bracha if somebody has a tzedakah in business. It's because somehow, somewhere, there's a Tamid Chacham that's benefiting from his business. And the entire hatzlach in the business is due to the fact that Tamid Chacham has benefit from it. He can have 3 million customers for his shoe polish. But the Gadol HaDor takes, polishes his shoes to cover Shabbos with this shoe polish. The whole business could have hatzlach. And if there's no Tamid Chacham having hatzlach, then the business will not be metzliach, will not succeed. Shnemar?
I shouldn't hate gifts because of that. So if you take gifts, you allow someone to do the chesed thing.
Ein sarid la'achlai. If a Tamid Chacham doesn't eat from it, alkein la'yachol tuva, don't hope for any success. People think when they help Tamid Chacham, they're losing money, they're losing something. That's the only way for them to be mitzvah. Ein sarid la'achlai Tamid Chacham, Tamid Hashem v'sfidim asher Hashem kayu. V'yamer b'lozer. Kol she'en ha'mashayer pas ha'shulchanai. If he doesn't leave a loaf of bread on his table after the meal, we're talking about he finishes his meal. So you're supposed to leave. You're supposed to leave bread on the table. Leave bread on. Supposed to leave bread on the table. No. We'll see. Ein Arayah Simen Bracha L'Yelam. You will not see any Simen Bracha. Let's see in the Gemara the reason why. Someone that doesn't leave breads on his table will never see blessing. We'll never see blessing la'ilam. Shnema ein sarid la'achlai. So here the Gemara is changing its definition of the word sarid. Instead of sarid meaning a Tamid Chacham, the word sarid means leftovers. A sarid means a survivor. Sarid upalit. Ein sarid la'achlai. You don't leave over from your food. Alkein la'achlai tuv. You're not going to see any good. Why is a kasha on this? Well, I'm Rabbi Elazar. Didn't Rabbi Elazar say, "Kalamishayim psitzim osokhan"? If you leave crumbs on your table, kilayvet avodah zara. That's idolatry. Shinamar, as it says in the pasuk, ha'orchem lagad shulchan. They set the table for God. God means avodah zara.
Yeah.
God. Gimel Dalad. Yes. Avodah zara. God.
So you can't call Hashem God.
Set the table? Well, in English it means something else.
Still,
well, it's probably evolved from the
No, it
word.
Doesn't. No? It's in Yiddish, it's also that way. In Yiddish, they would... From the Malim, Lemani Mimsech, and they fill up for Mani. Mani is also not by design. Mimsech is also food.
Well, the word has changed meaning.
So you see, there was a practice in those days when they ate a meal, they would leave over something for the getchke, for the item. That was the significance. Rashi says they'd leave food on the table, and they'd fill up cups with drink, four kinds of sweet stuff. For Avodah Zarah, they'd put food for God and drink for Mani. God liked to eat, and Mani liked to drink.
God and Mani.
God and Mani, yes.
The God we trust on the way.
Like kasha. No, it's not a kasha. How do you eat kashlem about day? One is when you put a whole loaf there. You finish eating. And you put a whole loaf there. So you're putting it for the Avodah Zarah. You're putting it for the getchke. How do you eat kashlem about day? You have no whole loaf there. You eat bread. There's a little bit left over. And you leave it there. Rashi says, he finally tells us what pshat is. What's praiseworthy about leaving there? Because poor people used to go around to people's houses after mealtime to get the leftovers. Now if you're such a meticulous housekeeper that you clean up all the crumbs, so when the honey comes, you won't have anything to give him. So it's a praiseworthy practice.
What if you finish all the bread, like a meal?
I don't know. Then you're not doing anything wrong. We should leave. You know, if you have some slices left over, don't be so much in a rush to take it off, because a poor man's going to come.
Why can't
and
you put like a whole loaf? Why is it bad?
Put a whole loaf, yes, because that's derech avodah zarah.
But if you're putting it out just to the poor people,
doesn't matter. You still shouldn't do things that avodah zarah.
Shouldn't use the bathroom either.
So if you're so committed to giving him a whole loaf, so take it out of the pantry and give it to him. Is that what you know?
But it makes me feel guilty.
Yeah, well, make up a story. Lie. So I happened to go to a bakery and I wanted 5 loaves of bread and they gave me 10 by mistake and it's going to turn stale. I don't know what to do with it. And you do it with such a big taiva, so please, please, please take it. Thank you so much. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about here. This is a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. Das, right? I think we have to talk about Das. And once we know what Das is, then perhaps we can understand its relationship to Beis HaMikdash. We can understand its relationship to the Kama. And we can understand why it's a source of all blessing. We can understand why if someone doesn't have it, he's going to lose everything. And you don't support non-Das. I mean, it's all... So.
Prisoner cannot get himself out of jail. He needs some outside help. Someone's got to help him. So once he was sick, he got jail.
It's a lot of stuff. When they built the Mishkan, Pashas by Yakel. Metzalel ben Uri ben Chur from Shevet Yehuda was chosen to build the Mishkan. And the pasuk says, "Vayimali Oisai Ruach Elokim." Hashem filled him with the Ruach of Elokim, the Chokhmah, the faculty called Chokhmah, the Tfuna, the Tzbina, the Bedas. Chokhmah, Tfuna, Bedas. It's interesting, there's people that helped him. The pasuk says Hashem filled them with chokhmah and tfuna. Ladas. Seems like Bezalel got chokhmah, bina, and das, and the people that helped him were chokhmah and tfuna, which would lead to das. Rashi says in many places, chokhmah is wisdom. I teach you something that you didn't know before. And I spoon feed it to you. And it's something which I knew, which you didn't know, and I tell you a fact, which makes you into a wiser person. And now you have what I had. And not more, nothing more, nothing less. Chachma's wisdom. 6 times 5 is 30. That's Chachma. Now you think about that. You say, well, I know 6 times 5 is 30, and I could do a lot with that. But then you think, you know, if 6 times 5 is 30, and then 12 times 5 is going to be 60. Because 12 is twice the amount of 6. So now you know two things. You know 6 times 5 is 30, you know 12 times 5 is 60. It's a lousy example, but that's called Bina. Bina is when the Chokhmah travels, when the Chokhmah gives birth. Bina is called a mother in Lashon Chazal. Bina is, you know, when the Chokhmah gives birth. Chokhmah is the father.
Are you talking about this in the ninth paragraph?
Maybe. The Gemara says that Rashi have Bina Yisera. Women have the Koyach Abina is stronger than the Koyach Abina of men. And it specifically used the word Bina because Bina is the appropriate Koyach for someone that gives birth. And that's the female gender. So since physically they can give birth, and they have a spiritual Koyach which matches their physical Koyach, which is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works things, that they could take things. They might not be so good in coming up with Chokhmah. It's a man thing. A man discovers Chokhmah, but once they have Chokhmah, then they can make it go further and further and further. And that's, you know, what you call women's insight, intuition, you know. It's not actual Chokhmah. It's something which is based on Chokhmah you take further. So Chokhmah that's Bina. And then there's Das. Rashi in many places says Das is Ruach HaKadosh. Rashi says Chokhmah is the Yetzim Chokhmah. Bina is Maven Dover Mitaik Dover. And Das is Ruach HaKadosh. Now where does that come in the hierarchy of things, you know? You know why Chokhmah starts with Chokhmah. Bina is the next step. Maven Dover, but where's Ruach HaKadosh? Because Ruach HaKadosh seems to be something totally unrelated. But it's not. The word das, if you translate the word das as knowledge, you're giving it the short end of the straw. Knowledge does not do it justice. What does knowledge mean? That's chokhmah. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom, you know, these words don't mean anything. They really don't mean anything. Oh, he knows it really deep. He knows it really well. He knows a lot. They don't mean anything. Das Thus, if you want to know what the word means, the Lashon Kodesh, the Ramban says it's Yesod. You look at the first time it appears in the Torah. And you look at the context of the first time it appears in the Torah. And then you find the true meaning of the word. In Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk says, "V'yeda Adam eschave ishta," and Adam was Yedeya, his wife. He became one with her. So the word das does mean knowledge. It does mean knowledge. But it's the knowledge of becoming one. When one becomes one with his wife, so he doesn't just know about her, he knows her. It does mean knowledge, but it means the knowledge of becoming one. The Yid Adam is Adam is one with his wife. And then he knows his wife. He knows his wife. Let me say this another way. Let me back up. When someone's engaged to his Basharit, he knows that he has a lot of knowledge about her. But she's outside of him. So his knowledge is limited because he can only know from the outside in. He's him and she's her. So his knowledge is limited to the most you can know about someone that's not you. Let me ask you a question. Who knows you better? Yourself or your mother? Or your uncle or your whatever. Who knows you better? Your best friend, your parents, your children, or yourself? You know yourself better. It doesn't, no matter how close, yes. Of course we fool ourselves because we have biases, but if we're able to separate ourselves from our bias, from our prejudice,
like they say,
we know ourselves better.
The thing that a person thinks he is the best at is really his biggest weakness.
Right, so that means you have the ability of knowing yourself better.
Because you're honest with yourself.
Yes, if you're honest with yourself. The reason why you need others, is because we have drives and we have desires, and our desires tell us that we want things that we really don't want. And somebody on the outside doesn't have those desires.
They can never know you as well as you know yourself.
Yeah, so certain things.
No. Yeah, I'm saying that we have a tremendous ability to fool ourselves. So that's it. As much as a guy knows his fiance, he knows from the outside in. When they get married and they become one, so then he doesn't know her, he knows himself. Because they're one. So then he knows her from the inside. And the same as you said, after you get married and you function as one unit, then you know people can live, be engaged for years until they become one. They don't know each other because they just know the other person. But when they become one, then they are one. That's what Yehuda Adam. Now that's when it comes to marriage. When it comes to knowledge, how do you become married to knowledge?
Father.
You can know knowledge, you can know a lot of wisdom. A lot of chokmah, a lot of wisdom. And that's just in the brain. You can take that wisdom and you can spread it. And you can expand it. You say, if this is true, so this and this and this and this and this is also true. Right? You can also spread that. That's a lot of bina. But there, there's a dichotomy, there's a chasm that exists in people, especially people that do chatayim, between what they know and even their expanded knowledge and the person. We tend to look at ourselves as we are who we are, and we're not what we know. What I know is one part of me, and what I am is another part of me, and there's no contact between the two. We're split into two beings. There's our mind, and then there's us. And my mind is not me. what's me, what I want. But my mind is not me. You know, all the things that I've learned and studied, that's not me. And we all suffer from this malady, from this disease. Every single one of us. It's called cognitive dissonance. Right. That's what it is.
What does that mean?
That means the do as I say and not as I do. Something like that. A form of that. There was a, in the Knesset, there was a firm Knesset minister that they were always fighting to try and get money for the firm schools. And there were other, of course, they're fighting an uphill battle. It's not an uphill battle, it's like defying gravity battle. Everybody's always fighting them, you know, and trying to cut them off that the firm schools should close down. So what should be prominent? The failing non-religious, the secular schools. And there was finally one guy, I think his name was, Yigal Alon or something, maybe Yigal Alon, or Ehud Alon, one of these guys, I don't know what the name was. He admitted to the firm Knesset and says, you know, after all years of battle, I have to admit you're right. Your system has a key to it. Your system works. It's a success. And our system is bankrupt. That's quite an admission to make. So the firm Knesset said to him, so come over to my side. He said, if I was right, I'd have to admit that I was wrong for the past 40 years. But I need Lomu Sugal Asotitsa. And I can't bring myself to do such a thing. I need Lomu Sugal. So he has a tremendous amount of chokhmah, a tremendous amount of bina, so he's ahead of all the other idiots out there. But to make the connection, that's what I think. But I can't. I don't want to. The Rebbe Gifter, who was in Eretz Yisrael, he saw an old guy standing outside of a shul. And just standing there. And the guy was obviously wanted to go in. He looked like he wanted to go in, but he wasn't going in. So my Rebbe, Zichro Levracha, asked him, he said, "Why? You know, can I help you?" He said, "I want to go in. I haven't been in the shul for 40 years. I want to go in. Because after 40 years, I finally realized that my whole life, I dedicated my life to false gods. And I wasted 40 years of my life. And I was running away from something. I was running away from myself. And it catches up to you, and I want to go in." So the Gifter said, "Is it locked? Just go in." He said, "I can't go in." He said, "Why not? Just go in." He said, "If I go in there, I'm throwing away 40 years of my life."
He said, "Throw away more of his life, though."
"I can't go in. He can't go in. I'm throwing away 40 years of my life. He can't go in. He can't go in." We do this every moment. We do this every moment. We know something is wrong and we do it. Because we want to. We know it's wrong. That's not me. That knowing it's wrong, that's not me. That doesn't obligate me. That's not me.
Come up with an excuse.
You don't have drug therapists that are on drugs themselves?
Nurses who smoke.
What?
Doctors who smoke.
You don't have such a thing? Das is marrying the Bina. You get married to the Chachma, you get married to the Bina. That it's not just something which you know in your brain. It's something which you are. Okay? Say it? And this is true of even secular things. So it's mamish true, there's Chachma, Bina, and Das in secular things. Now let's go to Torah. You have a Dvar Torah. Look at what in the Gemara. A Dvar Torah, a good stuck of Gemara. Chachma. You have Chachma Sat Torah. Is it going to change you as a person? Very little. Because it's just something you know. It's in the part of you, it's just something which you know. It's in the part of you which is not you. That's not me. I have a brain bank. You know, I've got a, it's an external hard drive. That's what it is. I learned the Gemara verb, it's the external hard drive. Bina, you say, hey, because this Gemara, the Rebbe Siegel told me, now I can go out and learn all those other Gemaras that he's not teaching me, and I'm going to understand them. That's right, turn external hard drive. You get an expanded memory slot. Right, turn external hard drive. At the point when you say, this is me, this Torah is me, it's not just something I know, it's something that I am. So then you become one with the Gemara. Do you know what that is, to become one with the God's word? I mean, you and God's word, I hope this is not too big of a jump for you. I hope it's not too big of a quantum leap. But you see, I'm going, Mamish, you should be able to get to this. You should all be in the same place I am. That means that you and God's word are husband and wife. That means you and God's word are one. That you and God, you are God's word. And God's word is you. That's Ruach HaKodesh. That's what a Navi does. You admonish God's word, and God's word is you. And we've said this over many times. We said the Torah is fire, and remember that part? So the Torah being fire, the Tamakokan being fire, and just like fire can't burn fire, so then fire can't burn a Tamakokan, because a Tamakokan is a Bardas! He's a Bardas! He is the Torah! Just like a husband is his wife, and his wife is the husband. Do you understand? Husband's not married to his wife. You know, Avaya Levine, I love this. He walked into the doctor with his wife, and the doctor says, what seems to be the problem? He said, our foot hurts us.
Who says?
Avaya Levine. Our foot. You know those Vaden or Rabbi Greenwald gives? I don't know if he did it to you this year, but I think he does it every year with this exercise. You're in the room, and you're boiling hot. So you open the window, so it'll cool off, and you're going to sleep, and your wife says, I'm a little chilly, could you close the window? What would be your reaction?
He had this.
Yeah, I know. So the reactions ranged. They reached proportions of they were preposterous. I mean,
this is what I paid 10 camels for.
Yeah, whatever. This is, you know. They said she would. You know, one guy said, "Well, I'm hot," you know. And the other guy said, "Well, if she wants to close, I'm not going to stop her." And another guy said, "Well, I would, you know, stupid, just dumb." So that's where I think this is when he first just realized that he better give his vodum to everybody. This is like when he first started giving it. Your wife is cold. You are cold. You're not hot anymore.
What happens when you're hot?
It doesn't matter. That's
her. She's hot too.
Your job is that she should be you. Her job is you should be her. You don't have to, you know. Your wife is it's like half of your body is hot, half of your body is cold. So you gotta do something. You can't fall asleep if half your body is cold. If half your body is hot, half is cold, you can't fall asleep. You gotta work it out somehow. I don't know. Yeah, make switch beds. That would be a good thing. But the attitude, the solution, there's solutions, you know. You can work it out. There are solutions. But the attitude, she has a problem. Let her. What? That is why so many. You'll excuse me if I give you a little bit of Rabbi Greenwald vadism, vadiosity. That is why so many marriages today fail. Because the attitude on going into the marriage is that we are married to each other, and not we are each other. The minute you view yourself that we are each other, she gains 10 pounds. Oh, make a comment, she gets insulted, very insulted. Very insulted, very sensitive. She makes something, it doesn't come out 100%. She thinks you don't love her anymore. Because I'm me, she's her, and now she has 10 pounds more. She's not me. Yeah. So I don't love her anymore, or I could say something to her. Did anybody ever stop loving themselves because they put on 10 pounds? They don't feel... There are deviants and sick people that they'll commit suicide. They're not within the norm. I know, they'll kill themselves. They'll put their finger down their throat. I know. See, even these examples, I can't even give normal examples anymore because there's no typical normal behavior anymore.
Well, no, that's it. If you hate yourself because you've changed that much and decided to hate yourself.
You love her, and she has to feel it. So you could make suggestions and you could deal with it. No one says you have to let it go that way. I'm not saying that. The solutions are there. Put on a diet, go jogging with her, whatever. But the attitude, she has to feel that the reason why you're saying something or you're viewing her in a certain way is because she's a part of you, and this is you, and therefore you want to do something about yourself instead of it's her and she has a problem. And the question, this is the failure of all marriages coming from this. Mamish, all of them. das is that you're one. You're one with your wife, you're one with the Torah, it's Ruach HaKodesh. So now I think we can understand by saying the relationship between das and Hashem's name. Hashem's name is before it and afterwards, because the only way to have a relationship with God is to get to that level where you have His Torah in you, to the level that the Torah and you are one. If you don't learn Torah that way, if the Torah is just like intellectual exercise or stimulation, so then you don't have a relationship with God. God puts His name, He surrounds the Bardas. Beis HaMikdash, you should be able to say this yourself. What's the Beis HaMikdash? What is the role of the Beis HaMikdash? Just a church?
Nine.
The Beis HaMikdash is Yerushalayim HaBenuya Ke'ir Shechur B'Layachtav. Yerushalayim is the place where Shemayim and Eretz meet. It's physical and non-physical. It's the marriage between physical and non-physical. It's where Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba kiss. What? What?
Could you always say that?
We have the same Tati.
Huh?
We have the same Rebbe.
Yeah.
The Beis HaMikdash is Das.
Who?
In a form of a building. It's builder-sized Das.
Yeah.
And now you can understand why. You know, if you have a dime in your pocket, you can probably buy a couple gumballs. But if your father owns a candy store, you're hooked up. So if you have Chachman, Bina, that's good, you'll get ahead. But if you have Das, then all the bracha in the world comes to you. Because you're one with the source of everything! And if you don't have it, no Rachmanis, no compassion. Yeah, I'm a shugana. You are a schizophrenic person with multiple personality disorder because you're not one with yourself. No Rachmanis. No Rachmanis. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about, but the Ikka we got? Is it Nifla? And that's what it's doing in Sanhedrin, because this is what Tchiyas HaMeisim is all about. The process towards Tchiyas HaMeisim is the process where we take the entire world and connect the entire world up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the entire world connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means the people in it are all hooked up, and every single thing that exists in the world is utilized for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purposes, not for what we think, not for what we want, but each and every item and nipper in the world is used for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to use, so you're marrying the entire world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it lives forever and it's Tchiyas HaMeisim. So Das is Beis HaMikdash, Das is Bracha, Das is eternity, Das is Tchiyas HaMeisim. And in order to come to the Madriga of Das, everything has to be in its proper place. You can't put two things together if they're in the wrong place. Ever try and put a jigsaw puzzle the wrong way?
Yes.
Nekama, yeah? Nekama is the process of taking things out of the places where they are. If something is occupying the improper place, removing that and putting it in the proper place so that you could, you got the wrong collar under the chuppah. Understand? If you have the wrong collar under the chuppah, then the chassan is not going to combine with it. Yaakovino. He worked for Rachel. She's his collar. He's going to be one with her. They're going to be one person, one entity, one union. Leah gets in there. She's the wrong one. You can't, substitution, the wrong one. You want to have Das, then the right thing has to be in the right places. That's Nekama. Seder? Can you say that? Clear? You understand?
It's clear.